Well, good morning, everybody. I don't know how I can top that of cute baby dedication, so we'll see what we can do, but welcome. My name is Ben, and if we haven't met, you need to know that I am a huge coffee fan. I love craft coffee, so this story I heard years ago has stuck with me, and I just want to share it with you. Story of a wealthy business executive who works on Wall Street. One day, on his commute to the office, he steps off the subway car and he sees in front of him a homeless man who's holding a cup. And unfortunately, he accidentally locks eyes with this guy, which he normally does not like to do with anyone, especially if they're holding a cup, because it means that person is probably looking for some sort of handout. So he quickly averts his gaze and starts trying to make a beeline to get out of that subway station. And yet this guy is just relentless. This homeless man's like, man, I gotta talk to this guy. So he speeds up, gets right in the face of the wealthy executive, sticks out his cup and says, "Would you like a sip of my coffee?" And this was not what the wealthy executive was expecting at all. He was expecting to be asked to be generous and to give a donation to this homeless man, and instead he received this generosity. And so he happened to notice that there were smudges on the cup. He thought, you know, I don't really want a drink of that at all, but I have to ask you, what made you so generous this morning that you would share your coffee with me? And the homeless man said, "When you have something this good, you can't help but want to share it with somebody." Faith, that's what we're looking at and discussing in this section of our journey through the book of Acts called Bearing the Gospel. Because bearing the gospel is just that. Bearing the gospel is gaining a taste and enjoying the sweetness and the goodness of the gospel. And enjoying it so much that you just have this thought, I have to go and share it with people. I want them to appreciate and enjoy this treasure that I have in Jesus. And so I want to share it with everyone. Today's topic that we're going to encounter in this book of Acts is one that's so sweet for those of us who follow Jesus. Today we're going to talk about and learn about how those of us who follow Jesus can have a relationship so close to God that we receive his guidance in our everyday life, we hear him speak to us and encourage us, and faith, when you have that kind of relationship with your loving Father, you can't help but want to share it with the world. In our narrative today, we're in chapter 16 of the book of Acts, and if you're new here, the story going on is that Paul and his team are on this missionary journey. They just picked up young Timothy. He just joined that team. And now they are continuing on this journey to go around the known world at that time, sharing the gospel with absolutely everyone they can meet and share it with. They're on a calling from God to share the gospel with the world. So this passage is in Acts chapter 16. We're going to begin in verse 6. So you can flip to that in your Bible if you'd like. And it's also going to be on the screen up here. "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. In a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him and saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.' And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." So if we want to try to figure out how to hear from the Holy Spirit and receive his guidance in everyday life, it's all right here, right? So clear. Actually, that's why I'm excited to preach on this today, because there's a lot to learn about this, and it's something that the Spirit wants us and that God wants us to experience in our own lives. And I want to say this at the outset. It is easy for those of us today to look at this story and think, wow, this is Paul. This is the Holy Spirit guiding Paul. He's a Bible hero. The Holy Spirit wouldn't speak to me that way. So easy to believe that hey, I'm just a normal person. Why would the Holy Spirit guide me? This was just for people on these huge missionary journeys in the early church. It doesn't apply to me. And faith, that is just not true. Because the same Spirit that guided Paul on this journey is the same Spirit that you and I have living in us because of the gospel. We can see this in what Paul wrote to the Ephesian churches, one of the churches he planted. He wrote this letter to ordinary believers like you and me to encourage them that they had the Spirit living in them. He said, "In Jesus, in him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Faith, you have in Jesus Christ the capacity to hear God speak to you and guide you, every bit as much as the Holy Spirit guided Paul in this passage. And many may not hear God speak today just because you don't know that he is speaking to you, or you don't know how to listen to him. And so as I walk through and show you what this passage means, I'm going to show you three simple things that might help you on this journey. First, we're going to look at where the Holy Spirit is leading you in life. Where is he leading you in your life? Then we'll talk about where the Holy Spirit is leading in your soul. Where is he leading you in your inner world? And then last, I'll give you some tips and some ideas to start you on a journey of following him. We'll discuss how to follow him. We're starting this message off by looking at where the Spirit's guiding us or leading us, because it is really hard to follow someone if you have no clue about where they would be leading you. No clue. And we're going to see that the Holy Spirit guides us in life to the places where we'll have the most success sharing the love of Jesus and the gospel with people. That's what's in the narrative. That's what's true for us as well by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding you and me in life to the places where we would have the most success in sharing the gospel with the people we meet there. And so to show you this, to bring this to life, I actually want to put a map up here to help you see this and have an idea of where Paul and his companions were traveling, because Luke throws around these names of cities and towns and we have no idea what they truly mean today. But this is incredible. In this map, the blue lines are where Paul actually went on this second missionary journey, and that's kind of hard to see. So what I put in there are those red arrows. And that's where Paul and his companions were on this stage of the journey that we just read about. And to help you like understand the scale of this, if you look at where Paul started last week when he picked up Timothy, just to the part of the journey, the Troas, that was a 600-mile journey on foot wearing sandals. So that's like me telling you, hey, I think God is calling you to put on your favorite Birkenstocks and walk all the way to Omaha to share the gospel with somebody. That's the distance there. And this would have, I think it would have been confusing, because the Spirit isn't even saying, doesn't even tell Paul the whole journey before him. He's just giving him like little snippets as he goes, like short bits of guidance. So Paul's just kind of journeying and he sees Asia and, hey, Spirit, am I supposed to go share the gospel in Asia? And the Spirit just says, no. Could I have some more information? That had to be confusing. So he trudges on, trusting that God would eventually lead him to the right spot. And they get to Mysia. Same question. Spirit, am I supposed to share the gospel here? No, you're forbidden to go in there. Also not helpful, but Paul and his companions trudge on, and they trudge all the way north of Mysia, taking that 600-mile journey up to Troas,
because that's where the Spirit was leading Paul to have the most success in sharing the gospel. And here's why. In Troas, that's where he met up with Luke, the author of the book of Acts and the author of the gospel of Luke. We see this because in verse 10, the narrative changes from they, where Luke is just recording what Paul's sharing with him, what he's dictating of the journey, to we. So that means they picked up Luke. They picked up the person who would write the book that we are reading today that's changing lives. That is a lot of success in ministry, friends. Then Luke is also the author of a gospel. Like, perhaps part of this journey and his time spent with Paul helped him understand what to write in the word describing Jesus' life and ministry. Tons of gospel fruit. The other incredible gospel fruit is up in Macedonia. That was the final destination after Troas. Up in Macedonia, that's where Paul had amazing gospel fruit, planting churches in Philippi and in Thessalonica. So that was successful. And then also, those churches were the gateway to get the gospel into the entire continent of Europe. So even though Paul didn't exactly understand the full plan that the Spirit gave him, the truth is that the Spirit was leading him to some incredible gospel fruit. And faith, the same is true for us today. The Lord is leading us on a path that we don't fully understand. We don't know the whole journey. But one thing's true. Whenever the Lord gives you some guidance, he is leading you on a journey towards good gospel fruit, the most successful gospel fruit that you could have given your abilities and your calling. We are being guided stage by stage by the Spirit in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. And the good news here is the Holy Spirit is probably not calling you to strap on your Tevas and walk to Omaha to share the gospel, because no one wants to go there. Oh, I'm sorry. I love Colorado. I've been to Omaha. No, the truth is the Spirit has already been working in your life to lead you to the place where you already are to share the gospel with the people who are around you. It's so easy to believe that where we're at is based on some random events in history or even our own cunning or our own plan or pathway. No. When we have a gospel-changed life, we know it's the Spirit's work leading us to where we can be fruitful like Paul. Truth is, you maybe made your high school basketball team or volleyball team because you thought you were great at those. And that's probably true. You made it because you are gifted and talented, but the Spirit gifted you with those talents so you could be on that team and share the gospel with your teammates. And you're the only person who might be able to do that. Only person following Jesus on your entire team. So the Spirit sent you there so you could do that and see gospel fruit. Maybe you're great at whatever you do in your office, engineering, closing business deals, whatever. Like, you went to school, you applied for these jobs, you developed an amazing resume, and God placed you in this office, and you're crushing it. You're successful. You're bringing God glory by what you're doing, but also, the Spirit guided you through everything in your life that you could be a witness for Jesus Christ in your office, so that you could bring about great fruit. Faith, with that in mind, one way you could start actually engaging with the Spirit on a more personal level is to view whatever, wherever you're at, whatever the Spirit has called you to do as your mission field, and start asking him, engaging with him, hey, how can I turn my vocation into a mission? How can I turn this hobby or this thing I love into a chance to share the gospel? And that's something the Spirit cares about. That's the reason he put you there. And I guarantee you, with that kind of a focus, you and the Spirit are gonna start resonating. You will see him do some incredible things in your office or wherever, all around you. I want to share, this is just a fun story for me. I have a friend named Jacob, and he loves online gaming, and he also loves YouTube streaming. Two things, just loves doing it. He got this idea years ago, I don't know when, that he would turn those hobbies into a ministry. So he hosts these Minecraft events and streams them on YouTube, and while he's doing it, it's his opportunity to minister to the people who log on and join him or who watch his streaming channel so he can encourage them with the gospel. It was really fun. Like there was, probably not fun for him, but fun for me. He and his wife were displaced by the wildfires that happened here a few years back. So they were living in my house for a couple weeks. And so he was actually streaming from my basement. And my youngest son, Sam, who loves gaming and streaming, was just blown away that we had Optotronic streaming from our own basement. He went and told all the neighborhood kids, and we were like legends of the neighborhood. And all of this I knew nothing about. Still don't understand it. All I know is I see the fruit. And I know that God gifted my friend Jacob with these, the love of this hobby and the talents he has to pull it off, so that he can bring about gospel fruit in that online community. Friends, what aspect of your life might you turn over to gospel mission? Holy Spirit's calling you to that. He's calling me to that. And if we want to hear from him, let's just join him in what he already longs for us to do and see him transform lives around us, just like we see in this narrative that Paul experienced. Well, the other place, the other way that the Holy Spirit is leading us is an internal one. It's not a physical location. It's a character change, a life change, a change in our souls. The Holy Spirit is working to transform our character to be like Jesus. That's his destination for us internally. That's his ministry to us. That's his work for us. It's called sanctification. As he's changing us, he's preparing us for heaven where we will live forever with God. He's taking sin and selfishness out of us and replacing them with love so that when we're in heaven, we belong there. That's his work, his ministry. And when this life is done, he will complete the work. But for right now, you and I are still a work in progress. And so everything that he brings us in our lives is part of that ministry and that mission to us. The way to understand this is the narrative on the surface of the book of Acts, where we read about Paul taking his mission to the world, his gospel mission, Paul's mission. That's what's happening on the surface. What's happening below the surface is the Holy Spirit's mission to Paul. And that's true for us as well. Behind the scenes of our lives and in this narrative, the Holy Spirit is at work. And so when you consider what the Holy Spirit led Paul to do here, like this part of his journey, these 600 miles up to Troas, he actually, because he kept denying Paul the opportunity to go into these provinces and share the gospel, he actually was telling Paul to take some time off, which may have infuriated Paul. He probably wanted to get in there and start sharing the gospel, more fruit. Paul was driven, right? Wanted to see more gospel, plant more churches. And the Spirit is saying, no, Paul, take some time off from that mission. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit never takes a day off. He's always working. So even though Paul may have been frustrated at these 40 days on this journey, going 600 miles, even though that may have frustrated him, the Spirit was at work, ministering to him, changing him, transforming him, encouraging him. Think about it. I imagine, like I said, Paul's just really, really wanting to share the gospel, yearning to do so. It was while the Spirit told him not to that Paul was probably learning some patience. It was probably along the journey where Paul said, hey, I want to go into Asia to share the gospel, and the Holy Spirit just said no, that Paul grew in faith to just keep walking, even though he didn't know the destination and had a little more confusion of, well, why wouldn't I go into Asia? And then I gotta believe that these men on this missionary journey would hang out by the campfire at night and just tell each other stories of Jesus and his goodness in their life. That was probably a time that Paul had the opportunity to share the gospel and teach young Timothy, to mentor him up for the mission that he was called to. So I believe those 40 days were so fruitful for these guys as they learned more of God's goodness and his kindness and his love, as they learned to minister to one another. It made them strong for the journey, made them strong in the Lord. Those 40 days that felt like were a waste of time were not wasted by the Holy Spirit's ministry to them. The Holy Spirit used these confusing no's that he gave to Paul. He used the uncomfortable circumstances of walking 600 miles in sandals. He used the frustration at not being able to share the gospel to grow Paul and the men in patience. And I believe this experience and many others like it are how Paul learned the Spirit's ministry to bring about good gospel fruit in his life and in ours. I believe even this part of the journey helped Paul later write this letter to the church in Galatia, where he wrote about the Spirit's ministry, where he wrote to them and for you and me that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Faith, that is the Spirit's ministry to you. In the gospel of grace, that is where he's leading you through life so that he can bring about that kind of internal change and that character change and that goodness of the gospel. And back to the concept of what we experience being so sweet, we want to share it. Have you ever met a truly patient and peaceful person? Man, their life is awesome. And they're such good witnesses. Those people who have received the gospel and the Spirit has led them there and brought about that fruit, being around them tastes good. They're an incredible witness. This is what the Spirit was doing for these guys. So that when they got to Troas, to Macedonia, and they displayed this fruit of the Spirit, who wouldn't want that? Probably made it easy to share the gospel up there. I want peace like Paul. I'll join your church. I'll receive the gospel. Faith, like maybe you personally are going through a long season that feels grueling and tiring. Maybe it feels like the Holy Spirit's sending a lot of no's your direction. You know, we're all on a mission. For some of us, our mission, well, we're all called to share the gospel. We also have like our life mission, our own ministries, our own focus areas. Maybe if you're a parent, you're recognizing part of your mission is to lead and encourage your kids. But because it's just been a long season of rebellion or other issues, it just feels grueling. And you keep praying for them, and you keep discipling them, and you keep encouraging them and disciplining them, and there's no fruit. Feels like the Holy Spirit's saying no to your entire mission. The good news for you is the Holy Spirit takes no days off. He's changing you while you're in this journey. Maybe you feel like it's your mission to eventually get married. Like you don't feel called to singleness, feel called to have a spouse and a family. And yet you keep getting these no's from the Holy Spirit, like, you can't date this person. No, you can't date this person. And I know people, this is frustrating for them. Feels like this journey could go on forever or never result in any sort of fruit. The good news for you is even though you're getting those no's around you, the Spirit's yes to you is that I am transforming you through this journey and this struggle. Faith, the Holy Spirit never takes a day off. He's always working in us. If you don't see him working around you, you don't see that success in the mission he's called you to. It is far too tempting for all of us to believe the lie that if we don't see the fruit in the life around us, that God is not with us. That is a lie. Because if you don't see the Spirit and God at work around you, the good news is it's because he's at work in you. Holy Spirit takes no days off because he loves you. So don't be discouraged if you're getting those no's. Don't lose faith that somehow you're not on God's plan for you. Be encouraged and ask the Spirit what he's doing leading your inner world to develop a character like Jesus. Just knowing that that's his ministry to you is so good because it leads you to God and Jesus and your salvation and the gospel instead of discouragement, wondering how come God has not blessed these other areas of my life. Now, that's hard to do. I've been there, I'm in ministry. There's been seasons where it's like, God, you called me to this, I feel like I'm grinding, and there's no fruit. So discouraging. So what do we do in those situations? And I believe Paul has an answer for that as well. He gives us another, he writes another letter that shows us the Spirit's ministry. Let me read it for you, a part of it. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Don't miss this, faith. The Holy Spirit is the one who lives in you, convincing you that you are an adopted son or daughter by the grace of the gospel through faith in Jesus Christ. The Spirit is in you, contending for your heart, reminding you it doesn't matter what you see going on around you. I'm leading you towards the Father who loves you. That is good news. And I got to experience this personally. I just want to share this story with you. I started teaching the Bible about 9 years ago in this parachurch ministry. It was a men's group where I'd teach the Bible every Monday night. And stepping into this, I knew it was a calling I had, but I was just nervous as all get out because I was not qualified. I have an engineering degree, people. Not qualified. So I'm in front of this class for the first 5 lectures. After preparing these lectures for hours on end, and I'm up there teaching, and all I'm getting is snores, blank stares, and no fruit at all. Faith, that was so discouraging to me. I'm like, God, why did you call me to this? And I'm not worth anything in this space. No fruit. No one's learning from me. I'm discouraged. I'm exhausted. And so it was a morning in my family room where I am on my knees in prayer, just pouring my heart out to the Spirit and to God saying, Lord, I can't do this. I'm not good for this. There's no success. Why are you calling me to this? And as clearly as I hear God speak to me, what he gave me in that moment was this. Ben, there is nothing you could do to make me love you more. And there is no mistake you could make to cause me to love you less. That orientation of my heart changed everything. And it was the very next Monday after that word that the fruit started coming. Not because I was any better, but just because I was comfortable and confident in the heart of the Father that loved me, who adopted me, who wouldn't leave me hanging out to dry. I realized, yeah, people could hate what I'm saying up here, but Jesus will never hate me. That is so helpful for someone who's teaching the word, just to trust it to him. So Faith, if it feels like God has put your mission on hold right now, if you're not seeing gospel fruit, if you're not seeing success in life, go back to this truth. Go back to the word. Remind yourself of how much God loves you in Jesus Christ, because he has put the Holy Spirit in you to guide you towards the Father in this amazing understanding that as an adopted son or daughter of God, you can never lose his love. And I gotta tell you, that changes everything. So the last point is, how do we hear the Spirit's leading? What are the things we could do to start this journey of being guided and to hear from God speaking to our souls? And I just have three quick ideas to share with you. The first, expect that the Holy Spirit can speak to you, that he will speak to you, and he wants to speak to you. We're used to thinking that it's just the special people or the crazy people that hear from God. No. Like, I hope that if you get nothing else from this message, that you see that by believing in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit and he lives in you, so you ought to be able to hear from him pretty distinctly. And you have a Father who loves you and wants to convince you of his love, and he wants you to bring about fruit in the world around you and in your life, so he is, by his own grace, in essence, obligated to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. The God who created the universe wants to tell you that I love you, wants to guide you to the next stage of your life where there's more fruit for you. That is our God. Praise Jesus. Never forget it. Second thing, the way to receive the Spirit's guidance and hear from God is a simple one, and that's just to read your Bible daily. Because the truth is, what we know of God's word is that the Holy Spirit himself inspired the Bible's authors to write what we have today and read about. So as you read your Bible, you are clearly reading the words of the Holy Spirit from God himself. When you read the Bible, you are reading what is universally true about who God is, who we are as humans. You're learning universal truths about Jesus in the gospel, what it means to live with him and to follow him. You're just getting that. You're able to read it. We have that documented right there. And if you want to get in the habit of really amplifying your Bible study, just start off saying, God, I know you're with me in the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me understand what you wrote in the word that I'm about to read today. Help me understand it. And the Holy Spirit is like your spiritual Google Translate. Yeah, he knows what he wrote there. He knows where you're at. He knows it's kind of hard to understand these truths that he put in the word because they're supernatural. And so his ministry to you when you read the Bible is to help you understand it. Takes a while, but that's what he's doing every single day of your quiet time, helping you understand it. So when you have one of those light bulb going on, aha moments, praise Jesus, you just witnessed and enjoyed a supernatural miracle of the Spirit in your life. That's cool. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible every day, because you are hearing directly from the Spirit. The other reason this is important is that because what he gives you in the word is so clear and absolute, it helps us with that age-old question of, hey, when I hear that voice, is that me or was that God? If the voice tells you to start a cult, that's not God. But the way to try to resolve that question, to know if the Holy Spirit was speaking to you or that was your own spirit, is to compare what you heard against the all-clear word of God, against the Bible. Because anything the Holy Spirit tells you will never contradict what's clearly written in his word. And then the last way to grow in receiving Hearing from the Spirit and receiving his guidance in life is to invite other people along on the journey with you. Ask someone. Maybe there's someone in your small group that you think they're not crazy, but they keep talking about, hey, I heard God direct me this way. I heard God in my quiet time today. Jesus said to me, like that kind of stuff. And you're always like, oh, that's a little skeptical. If you have one of those people in your group, maybe ask them, say, hey, I want to start this journey on hearing God speak to me and guide me. Would you mind helping me along the way? Faith, there is no shame in learning how to hear the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if you've been following Jesus for 40 days or 40 years. If you've never experienced that, there's no shame in asking someone to help you along in that journey. We all need to learn. We're not just born with it. It's part of the Spirit's work in your life. Because when it happens, you have another one of these aha moments of, thank you, Jesus, you gave that to me. It's a sign of his love. Other thing you could do, if you don't know any people who regularly or have professed hearing the Lord speak to them, you could seek mentors another way by checking out some books. This is a great one. How to Hear God by Pete Grieg. Very good read. Gives you very practical advice on how to hear the voice of God in your life. And then this is my personal favorite. This is the one that started me on my journey of learning how to hear Jesus speak, called Hearing God by Dallas Willard. And so, Faith, don't be shy. If this aspect of our journey with Jesus is compelling to you, don't wait. Go ask, go learn, and enjoy the goodness of the gospel. I just want to close by just letting you know that this is a lifelong journey that we're on, learning to hear God speak to us. We have to be taught. We don't learn it all at once. It can be frustrating and a bit confusing. It feels like it requires some work. So don't give up. The beauty of this journey is that it ends in heaven, where we get to hear God and see him and speak face to face. That's what the Spirit is ministering to us for. That's so good. And I just want to let you know that the struggle on this journey is worth it. It's so worth it. It was a journey the Lord sent me on 17 years ago. And yeah, it took some years to figure this thing out, but when I heard from God, the centeredness in my life, it was like my faith is unshakable because of that. You can try to convince me all you want that God doesn't exist, but it's not gonna work because he spoke to me. It's good. And to know and hear on repeat frequently from the Holy Spirit, you are my beloved son or daughter, helps you weather those aspects of your journey that are confusing and difficult for you. Faith, Jesus invites you on this journey to taste the sweetness of the gospel he earned for you. So now the question that you need to answer is, this is the goodness of the gospel. It's sweet. Will you take a drink? Would you now join me in prayer? God, it's truly amazing and unbelievable that you would consider speaking to us. We're your creation and you're Almighty God. We're sinful and selfish and you're good, but you love us so much that through the gospel of grace, you long to speak to us. You want to tell us how much you love us. And I pray for anyone in this room who's going through one of these difficult, drawn out, or confusing battles in life, where life feels unfruitful. Jesus, would you meet them even now in this closing song as they consider that you long to speak to them? May you convince them of your love. May you convince them that they are on a journey towards gospel fruit, whether that be internal or the world around them or both. Lord, would you make us a church family of people who want to hear from you? and who do hear from you. And that based on what you tell us, we encourage one another and go out and share the wonders of the gospel with a world who so desperately needs them. Jesus, we love you. You love us more. It's in your name we pray. Amen.